time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. We are live in Las Vegas from the South Point Sportsbook. VSiN Studio, Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. College football handicapper Brad Powers will join the program. We'll find out which games he's betting on so far this week. And we have to ask him how many bets he's made so far this year, right, that have been voided because of COVID issues. What did you say earlier? 17 games now have been postponed after Notre Dame wake?
And it might be 18. Not good news coming out of Kansas State, the Little Apple, Manhattan. I mean, this could be they could have issues. Well, that game could get canceled, too.
In theory, we have some pretty good games on the schedule this week, assuming that we don't have total chaos and like 5, 6, 10 games get canceled. SEC's back. That's good. Right away in the morning, Louisville takes on Pittsburgh. And Louisville coming off of that shellacking against Miami. Early on in that game, you could just tell that this was kind of the men against the boys. Miami was the better side.
Don't you think it's a letdown spot? I know it's a rivalry game, but Florida State loses to Georgia Tech, and now Miami's laying 11.5, 12.
It's a lot of points. But it's kind of the same issues for Florida State now, year after year, coach after coach, doesn't matter.
Norvell's got COVID.
Yeah, I know.
Got that too.
How about that, by the way, with John Gruden? Even like Ed Graney, who covers a team for the paper here in town, does a radio show in Las Vegas, our friend, right? He said yesterday, Gruden had COVID? What? He had no idea.
Yeah.
So, but all these SEC games now coming up. Florida plays Mississippi early.
That starts at the Kentucky Auburn. Yeah. Money's shown on the dog there. That Auburn was 10 at Circa, down to 7. That's a good game. Both teams ranked. I want to see what Kiffin looks like now at Ole Miss. Oxford Bully, if you're out there, what do you think of Ole Miss? Let me know. They take on Florida. They're 2 touchdowns. That's a good game. They're betting Alabama like they know the final score. That's moved, 7 points?
Yep, a full 7.
At Cirque, Army and Cincinnati's a good game. And I want to see what Leach looks like against LSU. LSU at home, laying a bunch. But, the other thing, Leach, he had a pretty good defense there in a couple of years at Washington State.
Sure, yeah.
So I want to see his offense, though, at Miss State. And just having those two characters in the SEC is going to be gold.
Some other line moves over at Circus Sports. Again, they
a lot of line moves.
Yeah, tons of them. Not only did Bama open up 21, now they're 28 at Missouri. Iowa State opened up +3 at TCU. They at last checked their lane minus. They're lane 3 now in the game. Iowa State. Georgia Southern opened up.
Sorry, TCU is going with a sophomore quarterback.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Southern opened up +19 at Louisiana. That's now down to 14. UAB. They're playing again. They opened up -2 at South Alabama. They're now -7. Among the other games that have moved, NC State opened up +11 at Va Tech. That's the late game, I think, on Saturday night, is it not? Yeah, that's an 8 o'clock Eastern time game. They're now down to 6.5 on the road playing in Blacksburg. Tennessee plays South Carolina. Tennessee, they have some high expectations this year. A&M is in action. That's a late game. They're laying like 30-plus against Vandy. I'm intrigued to watch that Army-Cincinnati game, like you said.
Yeah.
Because here you go now with Army. They've been very impressive. Take into consideration, obviously, their level of competition. And now against a really good program, ranked in the top 15, solid defense. And what's that Army program going to look like going against a team like this? Georgia's laying a huge number against Arkansas.
Yeah.
And some other mismatches as well, but good to have the SEC back, no doubt, this weekend, and welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, and we are starting this hour talking about college football, and Brad Powers, great college football handicapper, better joins the program now. Brad, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. I know it's early, so we appreciate it. I want to begin with this. The Notre Dame game now has been postponed against Wake Forest, the 17th game in college football to get postponed this year. How many bets have you made on the season only to be voided because of postponement?
Yeah, I mean, it's nearing 10, and a lot of these games that have been postponed, I hate to say it, but I'm betting on a lot of this COVID news. So if a team is, you're reading the tea leaves and maybe they're dealing with some COVID issues, I'm firing away. Like last week, I faded Florida Atlantic once I heard that they were not going to practice on a Tuesday. Uh-huh. Charlotte was dealing with COVID issues. I bet on North Carolina last week. Baylor dealing with COVID issues. Bet on Houston last week. So Yeah, I've had quite a few already go by the wayside.
Mm. Any other teams that you know of? What do you think is going to happen with Oklahoma and Kansas State?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, that certainly explains why the line's 4 touchdowns. I mean, I had to go back through and find out last time Kansas State was catching a full 4 touchdowns, and it's only happened one time since the early 90s when Bill Snyder got that program up and running. So one time in basically 30 years they've been catching this kind of number. I'm going to stay away because I think it is priced into it here. I mean, pure power rating for me only has Oklahoma by 24, so that's one where I don't see a lot of value.
Okay. Are you responsible at all this week for any of these line moves over at Circa? We ran them down before you popped on, like Bama going from 21 to 28. Iowa State catching 3, now laying 3. Any of these games that have moved because of you?
Yeah, I have almost all those tickets. I do have an Alabama minus 21. Nick Saban is unbelievable in season openers. And it's not like he's been playing a bunch of, you know, tomato cans. He's played a bunch of ranked teams, Alabama, in these season openers, and yet he's 12-1 against the number with an average cover of 9 points per game. And he's taken on a first-year coach. Yeah, I'm rolling Tide at minus 21. I'd still roll Tide minus 27.5. Iowa State, I did bet plus 2.5. Even though TCU still got quarterback issues, I'm very comfortable with that bet and still would lean with Iowa State minus 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Would you buy back any if you can find like a 3.5 at some point on the other side?
TCU plus 3.5 would be a possibility. Maybe. I'd have to get 28.5 with Missouri for me to consider buying back. You know, the one that I might consider buying back just because I really got an incredible number was the North Texas Houston total. I just think was a flat out mistake by Circa. They opened it up 57. I bet the over. It's up to 73 right now. So if that continues to climb, which I expect it will, I'm setting myself for a 2-touchdown-plus middle opportunity.
That's incredible. My God. You're getting close, too, with the LSU game. That's an 8-point move on the total. You have over 48 in the LSU Miss State game.
Yeah, another. I mean, I think, you know, and I love Circa putting up these lines early in the week. I love that they're doing it, but I think they were thinking LSU of, you know, under Les Miles instead of what they showed last year, even though they're not going to be as good as last year offensively. And also, maybe they forgot that Dan Mullen's not coaching Mississippi State. It's Mike Leach. So, I mean, that's going to be a wide open Mississippi State offense.
What do you think of Ole Miss and Miss State and where you have them power rated with Kiffin and Leach?
You know, I think of all the first-year coaches, at least in the SEC, I think Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss is at least set up to make a run at a possible bowl berth this year. I like no matter who starts at quarterback for them. And I think Ole Miss, you know, talent levels, you know, pretty good there. I think they've done a decent job of recruiting. And then they just vastly underachieved the last couple of years under Matt Luke. So I got Ole Miss as, you know, a top 30 type of team. Mississippi State, I'm down on. You know, I like Mike Leach, but I think there's certainly going to be an adjustment period for him heading into the conference, and they're less experienced than the Rebs.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard, Brad Powers, our guest, college football bettor and handicapper. How much have you bumped up Miami's power rating after 2 weeks? They were very impressive against Louisville, running a zillion plays per game, this fast pace. King's been great so far. And secondly here, I guess, Brad, with this question against Florida State, do you expect maybe a little bit of a letdown against FSU this week?
You know, I bumped up Miami 4 points so far. Maybe it's not enough, but, I mean, I have Miami now, you know, with the teams that are currently playing as a clear-cut top 15 team. And so, and I already had Miami up about a touchdown over what they ended at the end of last season to begin with. So, I mean, right now I'd favor this Miami team by double digits over last year's team. And we'll see if we can continue bump that power rating. You know, let down against an in-state rival, and maybe not, but it's certainly a hefty number here. In fact, this is only the second time since 2002 Miami's been laying this kind of number against their in-state rival, Florida State. But, guys, I'm not anxious to bet the Noles right now.
Yeah.
I mean, without their head coach, and this is a losing program. I mean, the Noles are 18-21 in their last 39 games.
That should never happen, ever. right? I mean, Florida State, I've said this before, Brad, and you might disagree, but teams like Florida State, Miami now maybe on the comeback trail this year, Texas, USC, these programs should never, ever be bad.
No. I mean, I could see the down years for those types of programs should be 8-4, not 5-7, 6-6. It's been inexcusable for those programs. Can't figure out the quarterback position.
That's right.
At a majority of them. But, hey, guess what happens? Miami looks like they found a quarterback. Boom, bang, they're right back in the mix. So a lot of it's, you know, recruiting the all-important quarterback position for those schools.
How do you power rate in order the SEC, starting with Bama, and then what's the pecking order there with Georgia, Florida, LSU, and how that works down the line?
So right now, clear cut, I got Bama, the best team in the SEC. In fact, I'd favor them by about 6 points over Georgia on a neutral, with the Bulldogs being the second best team there. Look, Georgia will have to figure it out offensively, but I think Georgia has the best defense in college football, at least on paper.
Okay.
After Alabama and Georgia, I got Florida third, and then I got LSU still fourth, even though, and I mentioned it to you guys a couple weeks ago, I downgraded the Tigers 17 points from last year. I still have them as the fourth best team in the SEC.
What's Georgia going to do at quarterback? I mean, Kirby's not saying much. Is it going to be Daniels? How about the other kid? What do you know about him?
Well, it looks like if you're reading the tea leaves, it'll probably be Mathis, a kid that's had some, you know, cancer scare, actually, for him last season. So certainly that would have been an underdog when they brought in Jamie Newman and JT Daniels. I bet you would have gotten Mathis to start at 50-1. I'm not sure he's going to be the long-term answer. I think a lot of it has to do with JT Daniels still getting to 100% health and figuring out the offense there. But, yeah, I mean, it's Mathis this week, it looks like, against Arkansas. And, guys, I know Arkansas has a new coach. I'm not willing to lay 26 on the road in an opener when I'm not sure that they're going to necessarily open up the playbook for Mathis.
Yeah. Do you think Saban made the right call week one by going with Mac Jones at quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he had to go that way. And, I mean, just Saban's, you know, the still an old school type of coach where you got to give the guy that's been in the system for multiple years at least the first opportunity. And a guy, let's face it, other than, you know, a couple of unfortunate picks against Auburn in that game last year, I thought the Mac Jones played really well, and you know, even against Michigan in the bowl game. So not surprised whatsoever that he decided to go with him to start off the season.
Yeah, I was ultra impressed by Jones last year. I have a ticket on him, Brad, at 25-1 to win the Heisman this year, because I thought, you know, they're going to have four first round picks on offense yet again. That ticket, by the way, is still alive, even though we might not have a bunch of other teams playing. And you're exactly right. In that Iron Bowl, take away a couple of fluky INTs, I thought the guy was awesome last year, but there was this big push because suddenly, like, Saban has been great at recruiting all these, you know, 4- and 5-star players to play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly open up the playbook offensively. Still has two dynamic wide receivers on the outside. Although I expect the running back, Najee Harris, to get quite a few carries this year. So the only issue that I have with a Mac Jones Heisman ticket is Alabama has so many playmakers on that offense that I'm not sure all of them are going to get enough touches there. Yeah. And they'll split the vote if all of them have a great season.
What do you think we see from Army in a true test this week against Cincinnati?
You know, that's to me, that's maybe one of the more intriguing games on this entire card. And I don't necessarily have a great feel for as far as a value bet here. But, you know, generally speaking, I think Army's overrated. I mean, anytime you come off two blowout wins over, I think, two very bad teams. I mean, Middle Tennessee proved that against Troy last week. And ULM, I mean, getting beat by 3 touchdowns at home by Texas State, I think both those teams are bad. Cincinnati, defensive-oriented head coach and Luke Fickell. And last time they played the option against Navy 2 years ago, they won 42-0. But I expected the price to not be near 2 touchdowns. I thought it'd come 10 or 11, and I'd lay it with Cincy. It came a little pricier than what I expected.
Okay. So you mentioned how you like to bet early. You get these great numbers on Sunday when they pop at Circa here in Las Vegas. Is there anything on the board right now that you could recommend or think is a really good bet to make?
I really like Liberty, and we're going to go way off the beaten path here with the Flames, but I don't think the market upgraded Liberty enough. Watching that game last week, Malik Willis came in. He's an Auburn transfer. And keep in mind, Liberty was replacing their all-time leading passer in Stephen Calvert. I think they actually upgraded a quarterback. Certainly from a talent aspect, they did. I mean, I thought Liberty should have beaten Western Kentucky by double digits. They made some mistakes in that one. Otherwise, they easily win that. And keep in mind, coming into the season, Western Kentucky was thought to be the best team in Conference USA. Liberty's opponent this week, FIU, middle-of-the-road Conference USA team this year, playing their first game, one of the least experienced teams in the country. Liberty minus 6.5. That's my favorite bet on the board right now.
Excellent. Love talking to you. Follow him on Twitter. He is at BradPower7. Thanks for waking up early, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Yep. There
well
you go.
Done.
I mean, he's catching total Sunday. They opened 57. Now it's 73. 57. And now it's 73. And he still said, actually, Bama, maybe 27.5 might still be worth a play. In week one, he pointed out, we had that graphic for you. Saban in week one takes care of his opponents. They take him out in a body
that
bag.
Sells them for, yeah, he also has some good tweets about how home teams have struggled, ATS as well, out of the gates. So, all right, it's, you know, SEC coming back, Big Ten, get some late games here. Who knows what, Pac-12, who knows what they're going to do.
I tell you this, but I'm never going to love watching SEC football more than this
year. That's right, that's right.
More in my life.
Yeah, and I love Kiffin and Leach as well. That's good. Yeah. How about this now? So I was wondering how they're going to do this. So the schedule's out for the Major League Baseball playoffs, and I'll get to more in the Jeff Passan article coming up. So a week from today, there's 8 playoff games. 8. So I thought they'd go maybe 2-10, 2-1, 4. No. This is what the NFL should do. They're going to play. They're going to do a game every hour. This is East Coast time. Noon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 7-10. That's,
really?
That's what they're going to do. That's the MLB postseason TV schedule a week from today.
The,
8 games.
Are all the games going to be on national TV?
ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, and TBS.
They're putting games on ABC?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's one game
that
on
is impressive.
ABC. Yep. One on TBS, one on ABC. The rest are on ESPN and ESPN2.
Well, I love and the then, fact that they're then, actually utilizing the deuce for this.
And then the same thing could happen on Thursday. Where you could get 8, but assuming there's no sweeps, if you have that rubber game deciding game 3,
right,
you could have 8 games again. Not that there's going to be a couple teams that win 2-0, but you could have six games or more on Thursday, the following day.
Wow, so
that also would be the same thing with the scheduling setup.
So essentially, we're going to get 13-14 hours of baseball on Wednesday consecutively.
First game's at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Wow.
We got to get down to the long bar just set up shop.
This is going to be the NBA and NHL bubble all over again then. How awesome that was for the first couple of weeks with those seeding games.
Great. With some of the matchups, too, we could have. I mean, we could get, see how it plays out. You could get, it doesn't matter, but you could get Cubs, Cardinals.
Sure.
White Sox, Indians. You could have A's, Astros, Twins, Yankees. I mean, some of these matches would be great. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1.
Well,
and that's it. Never makes sense why the NFL does it.
I've said for years.
Yeah, I know. Here's 10 games right at the same time.
Nope.
Why don't you go 9:30, 9:45, 10?
It's so.
Or 9:30, 10, 10:30.
Whatever, yeah. You can spread it out however you would like.
That's lunacy.
It makes too much sense.
Yeah.
You can start games every half hour throughout the entire day. There's no reason not to do that. 10 early games. What?
Everything kicks at the same time. Everyone's at halftime at the same time.
Yep.
And they all come down to the wire at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can keep up. That makes no sense.
You can start a game at 12 o'clock Eastern time in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can do that. That's fine. Okay, it's too early? Then go 12:30.
Well, we had the London game for all the time.
Yes.
People get up and watch that.
Of course. You can go 12:30, 12:45 East Coast time, 1:15, 1:45. That would truly be like a March Madness feel every single Sunday. The first couple of days, just have games tipping off now every 15 minutes. Here we go. It's good. Bar Canada next Wednesday.
All right, even better.
It's the place to be.
You got it.
It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Palm's on the program today, the maestro from Circa and the D downtown Las Vegas. He's going to have no hyperbole today. I wonder how many coaching blunders or gaffes from Sunday actually make no hyperbole today. I hope Anthony Lynn is going to be in it as well for his comments. I hope. I don't know if it is. I don't know what the top five looks like. I have no idea. And there's actually a good chance Anthony Lynn makes no hyperbole every single week, the more I think about it. Up next, we'll recap last night, today's NBA, NHL numbers coming up here on Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sportsbook has you ready for Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 tonight in the final stretch of the baseball season. Bet on all today's big games and, as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit. One-time playthrough on all bonuses and great customer service at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Tonight, Celtics Lane 3. Wire-to-wire job in Game 3 against the Heat. Butler said he's sick and tired of falling behind. Okay, do something about it. Adjusted series price is low again. Miami about $1.20 in that range. I like over again here. 210.5. Celtics were great in Game 3. Getting Hayward back. Surprised he played that many minutes. Brad Stevens was surprised as well. But the big three, Kemba, well, we'll call them the big three. Tatum, Kemba, and Brown combined for 72 points in that win. 117 to 106, and points in the paint were 60 to 36. Boston beat them up down there as well. But now 3 days off. So I don't know. That's something to look at as well, that they could benefit these teams, and we could see a high-scoring game, because it certainly appears that the older guys, especially LeBron, are gassed.
Yeah, Paulie, let me run this by you. So you love to bet in-play wagering. I like it a lot. What would you need pregame here to take Miami with the points?
I like Miami, yeah.
Because it's now popping at DraftKings and other spots. Celtics are laying 3.5.
Well, they're always taking money. They've been a popular side here.
Right.
I think Miami's the better team, but like Nick Bogdanovich said, $300,000 bet on the Raptors in Game 7. They still needed Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough series. I know that, because Boston fooled around and went 7 with Toronto, and they should have beat them in 5. So it was ugly the first couple games, too. But it begs the question, if the Heat get off to a good start, what's going to happen? You know, Butler's right. Quit screwing around here.
Yep.
But the other thing, they got off to such a great start. They were, 10-1 straight up in ATS to start the playoffs till they lost Game 3. So I think Spoelstra will make the adjustments, and you get a big performance out of the Heat tonight.
I will tell you right now, I am very tempted to take 3.5 before this game.
And I'll tell you another thing.
I want to see if it goes to 4, though. Is it possible it goes to 4?
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing. You want to lay $5 with the Lakers against the winner of this series? With the way LeBron looks?
Oh, no, I don't at all.
Trying to just pick his spots and not being aggressive, and everyone's sucking wind. A lot of guys were tired in that game.
I think the Heat are good enough to actually beat the Lakers. I don't know if the Celtics are good enough to beat them, but I think the Celtics are good enough to give them a good 6-7 game series. And then at that point, anything can happen. If it comes down to kind of a coin flip like that, they need other guys. If Hayward can somehow, coming off this injury and back in this lineup now, if he can be kind of like the Hayward, and this is a big if, kind of that we know, who he's been in the NBA in the past, then certainly they can match up with anybody. And coaching-wise, by the way, the Lakers are up against it in the NBA Finals. Vogel's okay as a coach, but we're talking about Stevens and Spoelstra here, man, two of the best in the entire league. They are awesome. And the way my one concern, again, I said this yesterday, would be, would the Heat get in foul trouble right away against the Lakers?
Because
I think a guy like Adebayo matches up so well defensively against many of the Lakers players. But if he gets whistled for 3 fouls in the first, 16 minutes, 18 minutes of the game, he's like, okay, now see you later. Hit the bench, pal. Total is 210. I'm with you on that. I like the over in the game. The Game 4 number, Lakers Lane 6, down from 6.5 last night as they got beat. Nuggets were fantastic.
Yeah, well, we're backing up a second, too. Your boy Dragic finally had a stinker. Dragic and Crowder were terrible in Game 3. There were 4 of 20 combined shooting, so that's, and Adebayo was great, and Hero played well, but that's, you know, this with this with the today's NBA, it's not splitting the atom. Who's going to do a better job from three, and the supporting cast mm-hmm. that'll decide the game.
And the Lakers now down to six in game four. They'll play tomorrow night, and the total is 215 in this game. Now, bumped up a little bit. So I saw 214 a little earlier today. Lakers sitting at six, now 215. And if the Nuggets, you pretty much know that Joker and Murray are going to give you really good games at this point. But if they can get that from Grant and maybe a little bit of more sprinkled in as well, the way that this team is playing.
It took 10 years. Finally, a good observation by Reggie Miller. You saw how tired they were because everyone just settled for jump shots late in the game. Come down, long jumper. Come down, long three. No one was attacking the basket and taking quick shot, you know, in a lot of quick shots, too. So that's another thing to look at now with the games every other day.
Mm-hmm. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get into Major League Baseball. Today's card, a lot of fun. Final handful of games that we have remaining. And a good story from Jeff Passan on ESPN really broke down what has to happen. The National League is an absolute mess for these teams to get into the playoffs. And breakdown on MVP and other awards coming up next. Are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bets with confidence. Sign up today, and here's what you're going to get. Point Spread Weekly, which is our dynamite digital betting guide, NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests like Brad Powers on in the last half an hour, giving out his favorite bets of the weekend in college football. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today, risk-free trial. And again, that's vsin.com, vsin.com/subscribe.
To wrap up the NBA discussion, I guess go against Barkley, who loved the Lakers last night. Said number one said they would sweep and also said lay the 6.5. You saw what happened there. Uh-huh. But, I mean, you can't handicap this stuff. The Lakers got destroyed on the boards. How does that happen? Denver killed them on the boards. Anthony Davis played an entire game and got 2 rebounds.
That's it.
Doesn't make any sense. Yep. Morris has 14, missed one shot. I mean, Grant goes for 26. So, it could be funky again tonight. Someone could go off as well.
Yeah. Good story in Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan, ESPN, he wrote, I mean, this must have been like 15,000 words. Whoa. Absolutely crazy. Let me give you a rundown quickly of the American League MVP. Yeah. He pointed this out yesterday. So this is coming off of Jose Ramirez.
He's got a little blind resume thing going on.
Hitting a 3-run shot on Monday in the first inning. Well, he won the game last night with another home run for the Indians. So he compared 3 different players, Tim Anderson, Abreu, and Ramirez. And his numbers, I mean, his numbers are great. And he also has, for what it's worth, I mean, voters, I think, will take this into consideration. He does have the best WAR, according to Fangraphs, per their numbers. So that's a big deal. I mean, that's overtaken pretty much any of these other metrics when it comes to these awards. But can you, if the White Sox win the division, I get it, there's going to be some canceling out here possibly, but don't you have to go to Abreu for that award?
Yeah, I'd lean Abreu. Yes. The National League's also tough. You know who's having a great year is Machado. Look, I didn't realize how good Machado's numbers were.
Excellent season.
And then Tatis has had a rough September. So other people making the case for Freeman, who's got a lot of RBIs, but Machado's hit over 300 and's got 16 and 46.
Well, I mean, Freeman's hitting now, over 340 on the season?
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are, I don't know if it's a late push or what, but I dropped the ball in Freddie Freeman, quite honestly. I thought it was going to be basically a two-man battle, right? It was going to come down to Tatis and Betts. And then, lo and behold, look at this. Machado's numbers are insane, and Freddie Freeman might have better numbers than anybody in baseball.
I don't know. Yeah, NL Cy Young, I'd say DeGrom, but also what if Max pitches well again today? I mean, look at his numbers. 7-0 with a 1.96.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough call. I don't know what they're going to do for Cy Young either.
I mean, Darvish is still in it. But Bauer has to be still considered, right? He's going today. Mm-hmm. Don't rule out Lamet. Kid's been nails for San Diego.
Yeah, he's got another start.
There's like five or six guys absolutely in this race.
Another good job point from Jeff Passan in this article, ESPN. About setting a rotation and also being a deep team and having a deep rotation. Why? Because of the playoff schedule. There are no, Belichick, no days off. There are no off days in the division series or league championship series. AL wildcard series will run September 29th to October 1st. The NL wildcard series will run September 30th to October 2nd. The four teams that advance from each league will have 4 days in between the wildcard games to enter the proto bubble and get ready for the division series. AL teams will then play games on as many as five consecutive days from October 5th to October 9th, while the NL will do the same from October 6th to October 10th. The ALCS runs October 11th through the 17th, and the NLCS runs October 12th to October 18th. Game one of the World Series is October 20th. That means, starting with a division series, teams that advance could play as many as 14 games in 16 days before the first World Series off day. It means where in the past a pitcher could start game one of a division series and pitch game five on 5 days rest. This year returning for a FICM that required doing so on 3 days rest. It means the pitcher who starts game one of an NLCS would not be on full rest until game six. Oh man. This is a game changer here. Totally up for grabs.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Andy Dufresne had it right with the Marlins and taking some shots on these. I mean, that's wild. This could help out the Dodgers because they have depth.
How long do you think the discussions have been between, you know, a manager and his assistants, how they're going to try to set stuff up and basically nailing the rotation so they're ready for next week, giving guys days off if they need it, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right? That's got to be before you get to the ballpark and after you get back to the hotel, wherever, that's got to be the entire conversation. Okay, what's the plan moving forward now? Yeah. What are we going to do? Who's going to go tomorrow? What do you want to do on Saturday?
Yeah, it's stuff I didn't think about before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a great article, plus on the tiebreakers scenarios as well. Head-to-head tiebreakers. Marlins over the Phillies, 7-3 advantage. Cardinals over the Reds, 6-4. Brewers lead the Cardinals, but again, they play five games to close the season. Reds lead the Brewers 5-4. That's another big – this game is so important tonight. Decides the tiebreaker, and then they could go up a game on the Brewers, too. Then you have the interdivision record, too. The Giants are going to need a whale of a week to get in because they're 15-18 intradivision record. The Marlins are in the catbird seat because of their record, their tiebreaker over Philly, and their intradivision advantage, passing rights.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff's very important, too, with all this. And then, that St. Louis fiasco, which could play itself out on Monday. It's entirely possible that no NL team will know until Monday night whom it's playing starting Wednesday, which means four teams will travel Tuesday, shack up at a hotel, and potentially play the early game the next day.
Amazing.
All in play. Mm-hmm. All in play. And I said it's all over, but it's the magic number is 2 for the Padres to get the 4 seed. And the Cardinals are the 5, right? Do I have that right? Yeah, the Cardinals are the 5. At the beginning of the season, MLB told teams that in coronavirus-caused cases, such as the Cardinals, teams would make up as many games as possible and that makeup games would be played only if they had a direct impact on which teams make the playoffs, not seeding. They're supposed to play a doubleheader in Detroit on Monday. But if they're in the playoffs and it's based on seeding, they won't play the games. So in terms of, you're looking at win totals and other stuff, and they just sit there and play 58 games.
Yep. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card coming up next. Nice duel here between two absolute aces. And the Cy Young favorite has had his struggles a little bit against his opponent today. That's coming up. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game, and they have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. And the kit comes with essential lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. This third-generation trimmer features skin-safe technology to reduce manscaping accidents. And subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. And for a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, which I have and I've used many times. It's great, $39 value add. And the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20. At manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and the promo code VSIN20. So we do get Giolito versus Bieber today. And I will preface this by saying Shane Bieber's only been in the league for a couple of years. Three, in fact, since 2018. So he doesn't have a lot of starts or innings under his belt against the White Sox. But if you go back to last year, this is kind of, maybe this team has his number. Maybe they see something and pick something else up that other teams don't, because he's so dominant against pretty much everybody else. But the White Sox last year, in 25 innings, his ERA was 4.62. He allowed 15 runs, 13 earned, 6 home runs in 25 innings, and an overall batting average of .304. That's 2019. This year, only one start. He went 6. He allowed 3 earned runs, and he gave up 2 home runs. So, again, very small sample size, but the White Sox have done quite well against the guy who was a slam dunk to win the American League Cy Young.
I like the Indians. It's a huge game as well. It's a 4-game series. And then what a win yesterday. I mean, they get the 3-run bomb walk-off for Ramirez, which also put him in the playoffs. So, and this is a tough assignment for the White Sox, that now coming up in the next 4 games, they draw Bieber, Plesac, Darvish, and Lester. Okay? So that could be important. Now it's only a half game lead over the Twins. And they're, as you said earlier, they're a $3 favorite with Maeda going.
Yeah, that was
against
on the move earlier today.
So a great season. They're in the playoffs, but we might hit the air tomorrow and the Twins are in first place now. And the White Sox could blow this because, again, it is huge. To me, especially for the Twins, to get that top one of those top seeds, because you don't want to play the Yankees, and the Twins can't beat the Yankees. Yeah. But you don't want to see. You'd rather see a Cleveland or a Toronto as opposed to the Yankees. Yeah. Come on, it's a no-brainer.
By the way, if we know this, right? First of all, nobody wants to play the Yankees anyway. I mean, that's going to be a tough task any year for the most part, right? Having said that, don't you think like the Twins also know it's kind of in their heads, like, God, if we can avoid the Yankees this year. Because they've been there. They've been against this team
13 in a row.
Several times.
They've lost 13 in a row.
And they have no chance. And a lot of the games are just over with early.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that'd be my thought on it anyway.
All right. Milwaukee's the 8 seed. Cincinnati's the 7. Miami's the 6. St. Louis is the 5. Magic numbers. Toronto's magic numbers 2. Houston's magic numbers 2. And the Marlins is 3. If the Reds win this game, I think they're going to make the playoffs. But if they lose, I think they're going to miss the playoffs. This is such a, because after this game, they only have 3 left, and they go to Minnesota, and Minnesota's going to need it for the division. But if they win, then they're ahead of Milwaukee, and they have the tiebreaker. And St. Louis and Milwaukee have a 5-game series to close the season. So I don't think anyone's going to go. I would say that's going to be a 3-2.
Well, it makes sense. It's a good angle.
Yeah, don't you think? Someone's not going to go 5-0 and win all 5, don't you? I think that's improbable, highly unlikely. So, they have the tiebreaker edge on the Giants, as we mentioned, and the Giants. We'll see how the Padres play it, but the Giants close with 4 against the Padres, and they still have 2 more against the Rockies. So it's just a huge difference. If the Reds win or lose tonight, the difference it would be if they get the win. And that was just unacceptable. I mean, that's the problem with the Reds. They have the worst batting average in the league. They get the 2-run shot early to go up 2-0. They don't score the rest of the game.
Yep.
And then Gray only goes 5 innings because he's coming off the injured list. He pitched well, and the bullpen blows it. So they lose 3-2. Can't happen.
Small favor to ask. If anybody sees a number right now on the Braves Marlins, can you please tweet us or email us? Tweets are available at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard.
Update guy found $1.60. I don't know where. Yeah, he's got that, 165. I see that at the one place, but yeah.
Email is ftm@vsin.com. Because I don't see it anywhere. I haven't. So I just, because of the Braves clinching the division last night. Uh-huh. Now, it's going to be, how do they actually operate with this today? Max Fried is going, still alive for the National League Cy Young. Do you really want to go and pitch him a lot of innings today, even though you're going to have to set up the rotation next week for the playoffs and probably be careful with that? Meanwhile, the Marlins have Sixto Sanchez going, who is in the run to win the National League Rookie of the Year, and you're coming off this clincher from last night. I don't know how teams are partying in the pandemic outside of a couple of guys for the Indians last month, 2 months ago, but might be an angle there. Hence there is no number because of the Braves clinching last night.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't want the Phillies today. Tried to avoid the sweep. That was disgusting yesterday, getting swept in the doubleheader in the first game. Voth didn't have a win in 10 starts. Complete game. Gives up one run. And Harper didn't do anything either. And they throw Nolan, they get beat. So that's another good thing why that's so important for the Reds, because the Phillies are playing their way out of this as well. Well, which was happy. The other, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Milwaukee are all at 500. They're all at 500. The Rays' magic number is 1 to clinch the division. They're throwing Glasnow against Waka today. Good effort by the Mets yesterday, but too little, too late. Houston, I like Greinke. He's got great numbers. Now, 175 on the road, but the writing's on the wall for Seattle. Greinke 7-1 with an ERA of 2 last 13 against Seattle. Houston is 7-2 against Seattle this year. And it's Tanaka against Ray with the Yankees and Blue Jays. I don't see a number on this, but Yankees have won 11-13. Toronto's lost 7-9. Angels are 3.5 back with 4 to play. So Toronto's going to get in unless it's an epic collapse.
Right. So you want a path to, like, victory, right, in whatever sport you're going to be betting on. How do the Yankees not touch up Robbie Ray tonight?
Yeah.
Can you envision a start where Robbie Ray goes out there and it's 5 or 6 innings, 1 or 2 runs, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. That's just not him, especially against this lineup. Big ask out of him tonight, too. And 12 more runs last night. This team is really coming on. Cole, by the way, I think is going to qualify. He's going to have enough innings for the ERA leader in the American League.
How do you not take the Cubs, too? Don't have a number on that game either. But Hendricks going against Williams. One guy's got an ERA of 7, and he's 1-8. And he knows this is it for him in Pittsburgh. The other guy's 3-0 with a 1-2-1 in September. And the Cubs have a 3.5 game lead over the Cardinals. And they lost last night, which was, you know, they just couldn't get the bats going. Rizzo with the home run and then the walk-off to get beat. And they're, 6-2 against Pittsburgh this year as well. So I think the Cubs bounce back and the offense breaks out of it tonight.
Yeah, one thing regarding the National League Cy Young, good tweet here from Dan Shapiro. Suggests that we look at Burns' pitching stats.
He's on there too.
He's actually one of the guys that Passan wrote about.
Yes, he's on the list.
So it's like Darvish, Bauer, Burns, Lamette, DeGrom, and I'm probably forgetting somebody else's. Freed is the other guy. That's 6 guys top of my head.
That's a tough call.
Who do you give the award to?
I know. That's a tough call.
And I said this earlier, running the math, the Pirates, if they lose out and finish with 16 wins on the season, that would basically translate to around 42, 43 wins over 162 game season. That's how bad we're talking about with this team. So a team's going to lose 40 games this year. That prop already cashed. And a team is, you know, going to win 40 games as well with the Dodgers. They're going to get there.
8th straight division title for the Dodgers. Very impressive.
Yeah.
But you got to win a World Series.
Haven't won a ring since 1988.
Yeah, it's Bobby Cox and the Braves.
And
what'd they win it? 15, 13?
14 or 15 in a row.
One World Series?
All of this talent that they've had, the money that they have spent over the years. Yep. And by the way, I will tell you that regardless of who wins the World Series this year, I don't want to hear any crap the next day, put an asterisk next to it.
No.
I don't want nothing to do with that. Get out of here. Get lost. Means nothing. These teams will absolutely earn a 60-game. Sure.
Very concerned about Frankie. Got lit up again. He's really struggled. ERA of it's over 8 now, going back the last few starts. So Bassett, Fires, who are you going with? Throwing Samoan? I mean,
great. Ask that to Mike Palm coming up, because he cashed that A's ticket at $4 or plus $4.50 to win the division. Great call by him back in February. I don't know. Yeah, you have to be a little worried right now if you're the Oakland A's
into the playoffs. Well, you got your fingers crossed. You want to face the Astros. They can't hit. The Astros can't hit, and other than Greinke, you can't be that concerned about who they're going to throw against you. Yep. That's it. That's a tough decision about their rotation, what it's going to be.
I know this. So 8 teams making the playoffs. Like in the National League, You can, all those guys we just rattled off, who do you really want to face in a game one? Even for the Cardinals, do you want to face Jack Flaherty and what he's capable of in a game one? That's not easy. Right? I mean, they squeak by a 2-1 win.
That's
all of
the
a
thing.
They have the series lead.
That's exactly right. The Dodgers could play the Reds. They throw Castillo beats Kershaw or whatever, or a Bauer beats Bueller or Bauer beats Kershaw. Now the Dodgers season's on the line the next day.
I would love to see that series price.
Oh, man.
I would love to see it. That's it, to your point. If the Reds win today to maybe get in, if they lose and maybe they... But if they get in,
Woodruff beats Kershaw in game one.
Right.
I'd get a team that's 500 against a Dodgers who could win 40-some games. It's okay. Well, you got to win two in a row. You're going home.
Well, and the Dodgers tend to get a little tight, by the way.
Yeah.
Look at last year in the playoffs against the Nationals.
Oh, man.
Unreal.
Yeah. You like anything else? I like the Astros. I like the Giants. It's chalky, but I don't care. There's 5 days left. I lean Brewers. How do you not take the Cardinals? $1.15. They always find a way in September. I don't like them. I'm a Cubs guy.
Uh-huh.
But they got to respect the organization. They always find a way, like last night.
I'm not going to war today with the Phillies after yesterday's performance. No, thank you. Don't want them. I think we're going to see some runs early and often again for this Yankees team against the Blue Jays. Maybe yes in the first inning in that game. Maybe the first five over going against Robbie Ray. And I'm waiting for a number on this Marlins-Braves game and maybe a little bit more information because that's at 7:10 Eastern tonight, unfortunately. Mike Palm on the program coming up next. We'll ask him about the A's. Well, you know what? We'll throw that at him. What does he make a Dodgers Red Series price if the Reds actually get in? And no hyperbole is going to be the nuts coming up next.